Blame it all on my roots. I showed up in boots. Well, I've never worn cowboy boots, but that's not stopping us from heading to the country, drinking some beer, and crying over our girl on this all new episode. Hey, you ruined my black tie affair. Howdy, partners, and welcome to Totally 80s and 90s Recall. On this podcast, we take a look at everything the memorable decades of the 80s and 90s had to offer, from music and movies to television and pop culture. We'll do this by providing our personal experiences and hopefully stir some rad memories, fun, and nostalgia along the way. If you're new to the show, we're so excited that you found us, and we promise you'll have an awesome time. And for our returning listeners and subscribers, we are so excited to have you back. I am one of your hosts, David, joined as always by a professional line dancer. It's my good friend, Rodeo Rob.
Rodeo Rob, I like that. I like the accent.
A little bit.
Yeah, that's good.
Do you want me to try to talk? I don't want to offend our Southern listeners.
Okay, that's funny.
I was starting to talk like this.
I was going
to
say.
Because that seems like a stereotype more than anything.
We've had the opportunity to offend.
Yes.
After 44 episodes, we might offend more people in this one than all
because
the other
of
ones.
My accent?
Well,
it wasn't that bad. You didn't like the Howdy Partners?
Well, I don't know.
This might be stereotypical too. Look, I've watched 8 seconds in Urban Cowboy Country.
You're all cowboy.
So I am all cowboy all the time.
Today's episode goes out to all of you moms out there that might be juggling a career, maybe as a waitress at a local diner, courses at the local college, and a family life.
I think I know where you might go.
Meanwhile, your husband keeps things under control at home as the life becomes hectic for you. Maybe your daughter is sent home from school with an illness, and your son is in the school play, and your hard-nosed literary professor is irritated by your frequent tardiness. It's all too much.
Too much.
Here's what we know. You're going to find time to bond with your daughter. Eventually, you're going to win over the mean old professor with your keen wit. Unfortunately, we also know the stresses of pursuing your degree are going to get to you, and you might yell at your daughter for inadvertently spilling coffee on your term paper. Mm-hmm. Your amazing husband, who looks a lot like Huey Lewis, will intervene, and while you apologize to your daughter, he will dry off the pages. In the end, you will get an A on your term paper and graduate with honors, and your husband will proudly tell everyone, "That's my wife."
Nice.
So if you're out there wondering if there's life out there beyond your family and your home, Dave and I are here to tell you, you've done what you should, and you should do what you dare.
I somewhat recollect, I think I hear what that song is, but I think I don't like it. So that's all I have to say about
all
that.
Right.
That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. There you go.
So, all right, solid opening.
All right.
For all you sticker seekers out there, hit us up.
That's right.
We'll get it out to you. You can put it on a car. You can put it on a laptop.
Your water bottle.
You can
bottle.
Put it on a water bottle.
That's right.
You can put it anywhere.
Yeah, we don't. It
doesn't
don't.
Stick to skin very well, but everywhere else will be fine.
You can try.
You can try, but I'm telling you, it doesn't work.
Do you suppose anybody out there is getting a totally 80s, 90s recall tattoo?
If they do, we'll bring them on the show. So there you go. There's your incentive. You get to come on the show, and we'll officially call you our number one fan.
Oh, wow.
Are you going to get one?
I don't know. And I don't want to be, I don't want any responsibility for that.
Oh.
You know.
I'll take it. I'm fine. I'm good. Well, Rob, take some responsibility for something and tell us this week's topic.
Oh, today we are talking 90s country. So we're looking at our favorite 90s country songs.
We're having some marble mouth over there right now.
Yes.
You couldn't, inadvertently was tough.
Inadvertently.
And then country, 90s country.
Multi-syllabic words.
Yes. Syllabic.
Scare me.
So, well, and this is volume one.
That's true. We talked about that. That
yes.
After doing this, there's no way you could have one.
We can do another one.
Yeah.
If we want to properly represent what is 90s country.
That's true. That's true.
So, well, I'll admit in the early 90s, I was not a country fan. In high school, where we grew up, country music was not really on the radio. There were probably country stations, but you and I did not listen to those stations at all. That all changed, I'd say, in my summer of 92. Yeah. I spent a week at my aunt and uncle's house in Umpqua, Oregon. And yes, that's about as far out as you would think it is. It's in Southern Oregon, and it's pretty much in the country. But they listen to a lot of country music. Now, I didn't listen to everything, but the first versions of Garth Brooks came across my ears. Mm-hmm. And so that would be my first introduction to any 90s country was Garth Brooks, outside of He Who Will Not Be Named, that came on the radio that I did not want to talk about again.
Oh.
So Garth Brooks. And then at the baseball fields, before game day, we'd get the field ready, line the, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. put the chalk down, all that. And Coach would play Rodeo a lot.
Yeah.
We listened to that song a lot. Yeah. So really outside of Garth, I didn't know much country music in the early 90s. You?
No. My earliest country memory is I remember being in the cafeteria there at the high school, the old cafeteria, the one that was down the kind of off the freshman hallway there.
Oh, yeah.
And so that had to have been early high school.
Yeah.
And I can remember a kid walking in to the, and he had a big oversized t-shirt. Might have been a girl. I don't remember. But they had, it was Garth Brooks, and it said Shameless in big capital black bold letters going down the side. And he was standing, a big picture of Garth Brooks. And I thought, who is this? Everybody was talking about him. Mm-hmm. Everybody was starting to wear the brush popper shirts. Yeah. And, you know, everybody was trying
to wear the brush popper
shirt. I never had a brush popper shirt. Nope, never got that.
I feel like you lost out.
But everybody wanted to be that. And about that time, everyone,
gotcha.
It became the hot thing, you know. Yeah. And he kind of crossed lines into pop, you know, pop culture.
Well, I like 90s country now.
Yeah.
And my love for 90s country blossomed when I joined the Air Force, because a lot of the people I hung out with, especially when I got to Japan, country fans from the country, actually. Mm-hmm. So picture a Friday night, you know, everyone's getting ready to go to the club because it was country night at the club. Mm-hmm. That was the big night. They're all ironing their Wranglers. Mm-hmm. They're putting on their shirts. They're picking out either a cowboy hat or some NASCAR baseball hat. Mm-hmm. I'm not being stereotypical. That's what they wore.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's what type of boots they were going to wear, you know? Mm-hmm. And then there's me, Ralph Lauren polo, jeans, sometimes a hat, the two hoops in the ears. Mm-hmm. I used to two hoop it. So that's the way it goes. Be wearing my Doc Martens.
Yeah.
And we'd be off to the country club.
So stood out a little bit.
Different. Yeah. I looked way different, but I blended. Yeah.
Well, that's like when I went
I blended. I knew the songs and I could two-step.
Yeah. See, that's more. I remember going back east to cousin's place.
Put down any of our country listeners.
Yeah.
Two-stepping's not hard. Like, this isn't a difficult dance to do.
So yeah, no, I
learned it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So my roommate showed me. He was quite the two-step, quite fancy with the ladies.
Yeah.
And he could spin. And he could do the thing where he flipped them and did all that. Just a plain two-step.
Nope. Yeah.
So nice and easy.
Yeah. No, I remember going back east to my cousin's place, and that was here in country and living out in the country, and guys with the flannels with their sleeves cut off.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
It was a different look.
That way you could be warm and cool at the same time. Right?
Didn't make sense.
I think 90s country was unique. I think the artists started to realize the importance of growing the audiences, like getting into different audiences. They started, in my opinion, ditching some of those classic sounds of country, like the 70s and 80s, kind of that old school country sound, cranked up guitars, made it more fun. I mean, look at Garth Brooks and his concerts. He's smashing guitars. Basically, it was like a rock concert with country songs. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So sounding like the old man I am, I don't like country now. And anything after the 90s, I'm really not a big fan of, but that just makes me sound like the get off my porch guy.
Yeah.
But I like 90s country, and then I don't like much after that. Mm-hmm. It got a little too weird and doesn't even sound very country-ish anymore. Mm-hmm.
They
don't even sing about their dogs and trucks and beer and all that stuff.
Yeah. I think right now I'm in a big, Zach Bryan, kick. I just think his most recent album is, there's kind of a little country resurgence, and I think he's kind of leading that. So Zach Bryan and Tyler Childers and like that. So, but yeah,
we will agree to disagree.
So and it's very much like my dog died, I love it. So good.
That's not.
But anyway, lots of whiskey drinking. And
it's not the 90s. This is where
this
it is.
True. This is true.
90s country is great.
The other memory I remember is going to your house and watching CMT.
Ooh.
Yeah. So a lot of songs on my list I remember seeing on CMT.
Oh no!
Yeah. So,
do you think we'll have any of the same songs?
Oh, I told my wife after we were at your house for dinner.
Okay.
And we We're talking about this episode upcoming.
Pre-show prep.
Right?
Yeah.
And you made some statements that made me believe that we might have a couple crossovers.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And so I told my wife when we got in the car, I said, I'm telling you right now, my list has not changed. Like, she's my witness. Yeah. I haven't changed it. So if we have any crossovers, it was completely unintentional.
So, okay.
Yeah.
So what do you, so you'd see two? Is that your guess?
I'm gonna go one.
All right.
I think we might have one. All right.
I'm going to take the bold step and say zero.
Okay. All right.
But we'll see, because I don't know what country you were listening to. So I'll say zero. We'll see what happens.
All right.
Well, Bubba may have shot the jukebox last night, but that's not stopping us on this third rock from the sun as we two-step to our favorite 90s country music. All right, rodeo fans, before we dive into our lists, if you want to ensure you never miss an episode of Totally 80s and 90s Recall, which you definitely should. If you haven't already done so, make sure you hit that subscribe button. Just smash it real fast. Share it with a friend. Help our show grow and get this Rob and Dave experience all over the world.
That's right.
Everybody should have as much fun as we do every week. So I will say, real quick, disclaimer. We love disclaimers. Rob always says we love disclaimers.
We do.
These will not be everyone's favorite country songs of the 90s. I promise you. Some may be considered cheesy or silly. And I know we probably left a ton of great songs off our list, which is why this is a volume one. And depending on your taste, you may not like any of the ones we've selected. In fact, we could have done just a top 10 on Garth Brooks and George Strait alone. I can already see people's answers of, oh, there wasn't enough George Strait or Garth Brooks.
Agreed.
And so that's going to happen. And look, I acknowledge they're both the best, but we're trying to get a sampling of the whole 90s. At least I did. Mm-hmm. I'm going to guess Rob did the same thing. Mm-hmm. But we narrowed it down to this, so you're going to have to deal with it. Good or bad, this is what it is. So with that, Rob, head on over to the Cadillac Ranch and wrangle us up your number seven.
My number seven is one that we talked about at that dinner.
Uh-oh. Started out with this.
Love it.
Very country. Kicking off immediately.
Right? I love Patty Loves.
You do?
I do.
All right.
Yeah. It's 90. It sounds like 90s country.
Early 90s country.
Yeah. And I like her. She came out with some later stuff that was some, she put out a couple bluegrass albums.
Yep.
And they're up there. They're
on I don't like the bluegrassy because I don't like super twangy country.
Yeah. And it wasn't twangy, but, and that's something that I like about these country songs is a lot of these are, I think that's the thing about country music that I like is it's a storytelling. There's a storytelling element to it that I like. The songwriting. So it's good.
Well, some of the songs I picked, I don't know that you're going to think the stories are very impactful, but they're stories nonetheless. So
anyway, this is recorded by Patty Loveless. It was released in 93. It's called Blame It On Your Heart. Some stats about Patty Loveless. Four of her albums are certified platinum. 44 singles on the Billboard Hot Country Songs charts, five of which went to number one. She has won five CMAs, two Academy of Country Music Awards, two Grammys. She's in the Country Music Hall of Fame. She's been compared to like Loretta Lynn, Emmylou Harris. The song and its video describe an ex-boyfriend who has a lying, cheating, cold, dead, beating, two-timing, double-dealing, mean, mistreating, loving heart that he should blame for whatever backstabbing he gets from any other women he does. What he did to his narrator.
Nice. So
the song charted for 20 weeks on the Billboard Hot Country Singles and Tracks chart, reaching number one in 93. It's been featured on American Idol, the movie This Thing Called Love, TV show Step by Step.
Very good.
Kiefer Sutherland sung it on his album, and it was covered by the Mavericks. In the video, trivia for you.
Oh my
In the video for Blame It On Your Heart, the ex-boyfriend is played by veteran actor David Keith, who is arguably best known for his role as Jack Parkman in what sports comedy starring Charlie Sheen and Tom Berenger?
That's tough. I'm going to go with Major League 2.
Excellent! Oh,
nice job. Yeah,
of course. Yeah, that has my favorite line where, Charlie Sheen, throws him a pitch. Uh-huh. And he says, if you can hit it, you can rename it. And Parkman hits it like 900 feet, and he goes, I think I'll call it the masturbator. There's not a lot of funny lines in Major League 2 because it's not nearly as good as Major League 1.
Is it? But the first one is Up Your Butt, Joe Boo.
That's the first one.
Yeah. Yes. Major League 2 is a 1994 American sports comedy film and sequel to the 1989 film Major League.
Yes.
And it is the second installment of the Major League film series. The film stars most of the same cast, including Charlie Sheen, Tom Berenger, and Corbin Burnson. Absent from the film was Wesley Snipes, who was played by, do you remember?
Wesley Snipes?
Yeah, he was played by somebody else.
He was played by Omar Epps.
There you go. Very good. Yeah.
Yes. Come on. Yeah. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
It's too easy.
Yeah.
So, the guy who played Jack Parkman, mm-hmm. Also very good in Officer and a Gentleman.
That's right.
Very good in that movie as well.
Filmed in Oregon.
Like a character actor type. Was it Oregon or Washington? I thought they were on the base in Washington.
I believe it was the Oregon coast.
Oh, okay.
Yes. My dad will tell you. He can tell you where it was filmed.
I got you. Yep. So, all right, Rob. Well, solid start.
All right.
But what's the best way to lead off a country countdown? I'm going to tell you what it is, by picking a song that sings about trucks.
Oh.
So number 7 revs its engine loud, Rob. It's Joe Diffie with Pickup Man. Hell, and I still wouldn't
trade it for a coupe de ville. Yep.
The late Joe Diffie.
Yep, the late Joe
Diffie. I love this. If it weren't for trucks, we wouldn't
have tailgates. I met all my wives.
These are country something lyrics.
Something about a pickup man.
I love the way he does that part. Man.
Yep.
He really holds that out there. Released October 1994. Spent 4 weeks at number 1 on the Billboard Country Singles Chart. Also hit the U.S. Hot 100 at number 60. Sorry, had a little speaking problem. Nothing happened
there. Emotional.
Yeah, I got too excited about Joe Diffie. As well as going to number 9 in the Canadian country charts. Fun song about how much women like men who drive trucks. That must be a country thing because I don't, my wife doesn't particularly have any fondness for truck drivers. So it is what it is. But Rob, I know you love when I do this. So this song's got everything. Barbie dolls, drive-in movies, chaise lounges, and traffic jams. Maybe my favorite song about trucks. And nothing says you love your truck more than meeting all your wives in traffic jams. Right?
I love it. Yep. No, I love that one.
I like the visual of that.
Yeah.
He's just sitting in his truck. And he looks over in traffic jam. You're not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, darling, climb on in.
Yeah. No. I was going to say, to go back to my first song, the thing, some of these stories about these songs, the real life connection. So a story that was told at your dinner party.
Yes.
Was that somebody sung.
Yes.
Blame It on Your Heart at a wedding.
At a wedding reception.
Like that, there's nothing more country.
The bride sang it.
That's what I mean. There's nothing more country than the bride singing Blame It on Your Heart. Right? Yes. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, same thing. Trucks and trucks and dogs. And,
yeah. And I like Pickup Man and some of my other ones on here because it's a little more rocking.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little more upbeat.
I met all my wives.
All my wives.
Wives.
That's what I said. Yeah, I love the idea that I just got divorced. Now I'm sitting back in traffic and I'm like, hey, darling.
Yeah, I love it.
He knows it's not going to work again, but he'll do it anyway.
Do you think there was an intentional play on the pickup man?
Yeah.
Like a pickup truck, but then I'm a pickup man. I'm picking up ladies.
Picking up my wives. I got my truck. He hauled the Barbie doll for the girl next door.
Yeah. Love it.
It works perfect.
All right.
All right. Number 6.
All right. My number 6 is one that I clearly remember watching on CMT.
Oh, my goodness.
At your house.
This better be good. Oh, John Anderson. I like the way he sings.
Yeah, he's got a good, a very distinct voice.
Yeah. He's his own thing.
Yep. In the Okeecho. Yeah. So that's Seminole Wind by John Anderson. This was released in 1992. John Anderson he started recording in 1977. He's been 40 years. Charted more than 40 singles. He's recorded 22 studio albums. Anderson was inducted in the Nashville Songwriters Hall of Fame. This song peaked at number 2. Originally released as a B-side of the album's second single, Straight Tequila Night, which is also a great song.
Very good.
So he had some minimal success throughout the years, and this song kind of
brought him back,
rebolstered his career.
Good word.
It's been covered by James Taylor, Luke Combs as of 1992.
All right.
Billboard magazine called it vividly imagistic A majestic song.
Majestic.
No, it's.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I All right. It's a dumb word. I don't like it. It's multisyllabic.
Right. Gotcha.
Yeah. The song laments the destruction of the environment by humans for economic gain.
Correct.
Yeah. Growing up, Alan Jackson listened primarily to gospel music until a friend introduced him to Gene Watson, John Anderson,
yes.
and Hank Williams. So Alan Jackson was
inspired
by John Anderson.
Yeah.
There you go. A little trivia for you. John Anderson has recorded 22 studio albums. His latest album, Years, was released in 2020 on the Easy Eye sound label and was co-produced by Dan Auerbach, most known for his work as part of what popular American blues rock duo?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, the impossibility of that. There's so many options. Just tell me.
Oh. It's the Black Keys.
Why would it know that? Yeah,
the band's raw blues rock sound draws heavily from Auerbach's blues influences, including Junior Kimbrough.
What happened to options? Was that A, B, C, D? No. Multiple choice here. No, come on.
You don't get any.
You got to work with me on this.
No, you don't get any.
So, okay.
All right.
You don't get any.
No.
Blues and wind. He kind of, the way he delivers, it's very interesting. He's like, he like starts low and goes, I don't know.
Yeah, I like it.
But it's good. Yeah. Seminole Wind's a good song. So you're 2 for 2. I didn't mind the first one.
Hey.
It's solid. The second one's better. So.
Well,
my number six.
As we've seen, I will fail you.
That's fine.
Yeah.
My number six is a party song and teaches you to spell at the same time. So learning, Rob, we love it. I'm talking about T-R-O-U-B-L-E
Ooh.
By the one and only Travis Tritt.
Ooh. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah. Get you going. A-L-O-N-E. There's lots of spelling in this song, Rob. You can play this at school.
It spells too fast.
Never too fast.
Good one.
I love when country songs just go with a yeah.
I say hey.
It's a good transition. That yeah. Well, this will always be from the killer early 90s film Son-in-Law. I will always remember where I was the day when Kelly Kapowski started stripping to this song.
Oh,
yeah. That memory is securely locked in the old brain right there.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
A very formative moment, Rob. So, very formative. Anyway, this is actually a cover of an Elvis song. Sounds like an Elvis song. Released in 1993 and probably one of the most rockin' early 90s country songs I know of. Hit number 13 on the U.S. country charts, number 17 in Canada. I'm not a Travis Tritt fan, but this is a memorable and fun song, so I'll get over the fact that he's the one singing it and just enjoy the song. Mm-hmm. I will say in the video, his balding mullet hairdo from the 90s was not it. That was not a good hairdo. Which again proves my theory that if you have a popular song, it doesn't matter what your hair or your face or anything looks like.
Nobody cares.
Because he should not have been walking around with his hair like that. And ladies been like, oh, Travis. I do declare. That's different Southern, probably, right? Not the same kind of. That's more like Scarlett Gone with the Wind. Oh.
Mr. Beauregard.
That's different country, I think. So, all right. So that takes us to number five.
Okay, number five.
Yes.
My number five is.
The Chicks.
It is the Chicks. That's right. Formerly known as the Dixie Chicks. Yeah. And this is late 90s. This is 99. Yeah. 99.
I have a Dixie Chick story. You've heard it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good, though.
Was that where they were signing and they're like, who the heck are these people?
I was stationed in Florida and went to the base exchange. Me and my friends were walking by and it was a table of three girls and their manager or whoever asked, do you guys want to get a signature or an autograph and one of these CDs? And we're like, I've never, what is this? We don't even know what this is. 6 months later, that song's on the radio. They're on the radio. Amazing. They did a free concert that night too.
Yeah.
We went to it. We stayed like half an hour and then we left. Drink some Natty Light. You know, that's the way it works. But I saw them.
Natty Ice?
Saw them before they were, no, it was just the light. They were anything for free. And then 6 months later, I was like, oh, I should have got an autograph.
Nope.
Next time someone offers you an autograph.
Just take it in
take
case.
Take it and see what happens.
That's right. Hold on to it.
I'll give you mine. It's fine.
That's right. I've offered people mine. They don't want it.
They don't take it. You're Herbie Hancock?
My Herbie Hancock.
That's right.
This is American country music group Dixie Chicks, also known as The Chicks, released in 99. So this is getting to the end of the 90s. The song's title is derived from the famous slogan used in commercials for Calgon bath and beauty products. I had a babysitter growing up, and she would always say, "Ugh, Calgon, take me away." I can remember her saying that when we'd take her off.
So then we changed it to Cowboy, take me away.
That's right.
Very clever.
Right? Cowboy, take me away from Fly became another signature song written by one of the bandmates to celebrate her sister's romance with country singer Charlie Robison.
Don't know who that is.
And sadly, I believe in my notes here, he died.
No. Okay.
Anyway, it reached number one on the U.S. Billboard Hot Country Singles and Tracks chart, one of the trio's signature songs, and has become a staple at their concert. So some accolades. The Chicks, apparently, 13 Grammy Awards, five of which came from 2007's Taking the Long Way, which received the Grammy Award for Album of the Year.
Wow.
And its single Not Ready to Make Nice, which received the Grammy Award for Record of the Year and the Grammy Award for Song of the Year. They have sold 33 million certified albums worldwide, sales of 27.9 million albums in the U.S. They've become the best-selling all-woman band and best-selling country group in the U.S. during the Nielsen SoundScan era. That's 1991 to present. In 98, they sold more CDs than any other country music groups combined, and their albums continue to be placed in the list of the 50 best-selling albums in American history over the half decade after they were released.
Oh.
I mean, I really like this. Yeah, I like this. And I like the songwriting in this. This is just a really good song. I think it's a pretty song. I think it's, but trivia, the band headlined their first tour, the Fly Tour, with guest artists including Joe Eli and Ricky Skaggs appearing at each show, and also joined Sarah McLachlan, Sheryl Crow, and other female artists on what well-known all-woman tour.
When you write these, is it just to insult my intelligence? Yeah. All right. Lilith Fair.
Excellent!
Nice job.
Exactly.
Yep.
Good job. You already know I know the answer to that.
Yeah. It's raised over $10 million for charity.
Well, I have to be honest.
Co-founded by Sarah McLachlan.
Chicks, Dixie Chicks, whatever they're called, after about 1999, didn't get into the ears anymore. So 2007, those albums, good for them. But definitely was not.
Well, and that was around the time between 99 and 2007.
Yeah.
They got themselves in some political turmoil. They said some things
about President Bush. Yeah,
during the war. And,
Same. All right. Well, my first two songs were rocking songs, getting you going. So number five, I am coming down a little bit. This is a slow song. Go out and you can do a little slow two-step. Because there's two kinds of two-steps. Slow, you can do it fast. Huh? Yeah, you can do it slow. You can do it fast. Just like anything else, Rob, you can do it slow, you can do it fast. All right, but this is going to be my number five, and it is Time Marches On by Tracy Lawrence.
Tracy Lawrence. Like a rolling stone. I like Tracy Lawrence.
Yeah, he's good. Time marches on. He's got the twang, but I like it. Time marches on. They brought the beat up a little bit in the back there, so it helps. It could be twanger. South moves north, north moves south.
Burns iron.
Right here. I like the hold. Do you like that? I'm not doing it justice, but I do like the way he twangs.
The thing I like about Tracy Lawrence is that there's a phrase that goes around in the country world, in the Western world, where they talk about all hat, no cowboy.
Oh, yes.
So they'll refer to somebody that shows up all dappered out, but they're not really a cowboy. They're just
That'd be like if I dressed up in cowboy gear.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Yeah. So 100%. They look the part, but they are no cowboy. And I think Tracy Lawrence is an artist that
was a cowboy.
Well, if he wasn't a cowboy, what he wrote about, I think, was legit. Like his life mirrored.
Yeah.
My dog died, my truck, and my wife ran away, kind of thing. So.
He has another song about a front porch. So yes, he's singing about relevant Southern.
Yeah, and situation. I think he had an alcohol problem. I think he's had some.
They all have alcohol problems. Got to have that. Right.
Yeah. So anyway.
All right. Well, Tracy Lawrence, love this. Still love it to this day. Funny story. My friend Chris, who was in my wedding,
he helped you learn to two-step.
He did. Mm-hmm. We would be in the dorm room and we would two-step right together.
That's a picture that you two.
The two of us just two-stepping? Yeah, it was great. Anyway, he had a guitar pick he kept in his wallet, and he would pull it out at the club when we would go ratting at the club. Yeah,
club rat.
And he would tell the ladies, it had a signature on it. He said he caught it at a Tracy Lawrence concert, and then Tracy Lawrence signed it. So
Is it true?
I mean, believe him. I mean, I can't prove it otherwise. It happened.
That's a really obscure thing. It's not like he was saying Garth Brooks or like Tracy Lawrence.
Shocked at the Oohs and Ahs he got from some of the ladies on, oh my goodness, Tracy Lawrence.
I'm going to have to remember that.
People just picking up, trying to pick. Yeah. So, all right. Well, this seems like somewhat of a ballad, but you would like it, Rob, as you mentioned, it tells a story. I know how much you like stories. Over many years of a family, released in 1996, went to number 4 in the U.S. and Canada on the country charts. I'll always remember Tracy Lawrence because of the guitar pick. So I had to put it on here. I like the song.
Yeah.
It's got the good memory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good song.
That's a great story to have.
Yeah, I love it.
Even if it's true or not true. Who says it's not? But I imagine the luck Chris had.
To be the one.
You know how big guitar picks are? They're like this. Yeah. And he just threw it in the crowd. And he got it. I don't know if he fought people for it or I don't know what happened, but.
Either way, he used it to his advantage.
Oh, always.
Yes. All right. My number 4?
4.
Ooh. Is?
Oh, wow.
Why? Not a good choice?
It's okay.
Wow. You seem disappointed.
Not disappointed.
Yeah.
I'm just...
the crinkly face. You scrunch the face.
It's not creaky. It just... This is interesting.
This is a CMT one. I remember the video.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. So this is Midnight in Montgomery by Alan Jackson.
Oh.
Released in April of 92. It was co-written and recorded by Alan Jackson. It peaked at number 3. The only album single not to top the chart. So that Josh Turner recorded it in 2020. The song was written about Hank Williams, who was from Montgomery, Alabama, and references several Williams' hits, including I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. The song ends with the words, Hank's always singing there. The song describes the singer while heading to Mobile for a New Year's Eve show, makes a visit to the grave, and encounters the ghost of Williams, who thanks him for paying tribute before disappearing. Williams died actually on New Year's Day, 1953, and is buried in Montgomery. The song is described as fascinating, ominous, chilling, and haunting. The video was filmed in black and white under a full moon amidst the headstones of an empty cemetery, and it won that year's Country Music Association Award for Music Video of the Year.
Of the year.
Some stats. One of the best-selling music artists of all time, having sold over 75 million records worldwide, with 44 million sold in the United States, 66 songs appeared on the Billboard Hot Country Singles chart. Of the 66 titles, 38 have reached the top 5, 35 have claimed the number one spot. Out of the 15 titles to reach the Billboard Top Country Albums chart, 9 have been certified multi-platinum, 2 Grammy Awards, 16 CMAs, 17 ACM Awards, and the member of the Grand Ole Opry, Georgia Music Hall of Fame, Country Music Hall of Fame, the Nashville Songwriters Hall of Fame. So
nice.
Alan Jackson's, he's up there. Trivia. In addition to maintaining his connections to his roots and old friends, Jackson has maintained a close friendship with the likes of George Strait, who sang Murder on Music Row with him, and which other prominent country singer mentioned in songs such as Don't Rock the Jukebox and Murder on Music Row?
Don't Rock the Jukebox.
He's an older.
Charlie Daniels.
George Jones.
Oh, George Jones.
Jones can also be seen in the video for Good Time and Don't Rock the Jukebox at George Jones's funeral service in 2013. Jackson performed one of Jones's classic, He Stopped Loving Her Today, at the close of the service at the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville.
Nice.
There you go.
So, well, unfortunately, we're having some technical difficulties. I have no internet, so I cannot play my next song. I can't introduce my next song. I can't do anything with my next song. The entire time you're doing your song, I've crashed out, so... So our technical folks may have to take a look at it, but I definitely, am not able to connect at this time. So there you go. So we're going to shut this down and then we'll just, pick up.
Yep.
So, it just keeps telling me it's unavailable. I've restarted twice while you were talking. Well, that was a lot about Alan Jackson.
He deserves a lot.
I mean, I guess. So you always latch onto this one artist that you're really going to just explore this vast amount of information. So every episode, last musical episode we did, 96, Pearl Jam got a nice elongated amount of information. You've done that with the Pixies and some others. So it's always fun. So Alan Jackson fell into that category this time. So while my number four is going to keep it kind of slow, kind of like Time Marches On. And it is one of my favorites, Martina McBride, Independence Day.
I almost predicted it. Because I remember you loved it.
I do love it. I still love it. Sounds so good. Not about the 4th of July at all.
Oh.
People confusingly like Born in the USA go, oh, Independence Day. It's
so good.
Ooh, look at that note.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect.
So my pastor actually referenced this song in a sermon.
Oh, okay.
And I'm paraphrasing what he said, but basically that this is like a master class in songwriting.
It's a good
song.
Yeah,
it just feels like it's.
I love this. Yeah. So legit, one of my favorite songs of the 90s from any genre, not just country. I can listen to this at all times. Love this song. Not about Independence Day. It's a story about an abusive dad and a mom who takes her revenge. Martina's voice is great. A lot of emotion. Catchy, great song. I still listen to it all the time. Released in 94. Only hit number 12 in the U.S. charts and number 15 in Canada, but was certified platinum for sales. Ranked number 50 on CMT's 100 Greatest Songs of Country Music and number 2 on their 100 Greatest Country Music Videos. Number 2, that's pretty good. It is a cool video. If you want to fire up the YouTube, check it out. But again, great song, great lyrics, great harmonies. When she hits that second Be Strong thing where she kind of cracks a little, pretty good. It's nice. Got that emotion, Rob.
I love that song. No, sorry. Hey, you said it was the mom gets...
The dad's abusive.
Yeah, and the mom gets revenge?
Yeah, she burns down the house.
Why did I always think it was the daughter?
No, she sends the daughter to the county fair, and then by the time she comes home, the house is on
fire.
But
the video really focuses on the little girl, right?
It's from her perspective, but when she comes back, she sees the fire.
Okay.
And then they take her to the county home. The whole thing.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah. Mom sacrificed herself basically to get the abusive dad away. Yeah. So.
Woof. That's deep.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Yeah, my pastor really loved that. And he's got some connections to Nashville and stuff, and he just thinks that's like best song ever.
It's a really good song.
All right. My number, what are we at?
Three.
My number three, and you've referenced number three already.
All right.
You've referenced it. Hopefully we don't have it on the same list.
Oh, okay.
Wounds have almost healed.
Hey?
Yeah. It's a great song.
Yeah. She'd
give half a Texas.
Garth?
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with Garth.
There was one other Garth song that I was going to put in here that I thought was better, but...
Oh. Well, there's like 30 to choose from.
I don't know. He's got some good ones, but...
Yeah.
Well, it ain't no woman, flesh and blood. It's that damned old road he goes.
This is a really good one.
Yeah. The thing I like about is, again, is the storytelling. The other one was going to be, I'm dropping the name right now, where it's where the husband's the truck driver and mom's
Papa Malone.
Papa don't, Pop, yeah. Papa, what
Papa
is
Love
that?
Mama.
Yes.
I love that song.
So good.
That lyric where he said,
and I was shifting
he never
gear.
Hit the brakes. He was shifting gears and he goes right into the motel. Yeah, great.
So good. The thing about rodeo that I like is, sometimes you'll hear people, if you weren't, doing the job you're doing now, what would you do? If I could travel the world and be like a photojournalist, take pictures, write stories. When I first came up to Ellensburg to hang with you, you were in the ROTC and we were stationed to do the
parking
fair.
Lot. Yep.
And we had to,
the rodeo,
we had to take them to the shoots.
Yes.
And the guys that we would take back and forth, just the stories that we heard and the trucks that they were driving and just I could have watched that all day. And so the rodeo lifestyle. It's something I think it'd be really cool to document and follow. And, so anyway.
It's something. Here's my remembrance of that rodeo lifestyle when I was there. It was early morning. I was riding around on the four-wheeler and we'd pick up trash or whatever. And they have their trailers parked in there with their trucks. Well, this trailer was parked. All of a sudden, the door flies open as I'm coming by on the four-wheeler. This cowboy comes walking out. He's just wearing jeans with his belt buckle, no shirt, and a cowboy hat. And then he puts his arm over the door and these two blonde girls just walk out of the trailer. And then he's like, see y'all later, and close the door. And I was like, and they're like, they were like, can you give us a ride to our car? And it was across the street. Yeah. So they're on the back of my four-wheeler, these two blondes, over that's to the I'm thing. Saying. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
that's a good lifestyle, right?
And I think this song does a really good job of capturing that lifestyle. And yeah. You know, anyway. So this is Rodeo by Garth Brooks. Recorded, it was released in 91.
Album No Fences?
No, Rope in the Wind.
Rope in the Wind, yeah. That's right.
Peaked at number 3. It was originally titled Miss Rodeo, and it was a female song where the artist sang about how she would not compete with the sport of rodeo. She was going to compete with the man for the, you know. Gotcha. The song was recorded in 1981 as a demo, and he held on to it. The song has always been a favorite live, and I hope as long as I get to play live, this will always be on the list. That was Brooks that said that. He actually approached Trisha Yearwood to sing it.
Oh, yes.
And she convinced him to do it.
So, perfect. Anyway. That was a good decision by her.
Right?
Yes.
Some things about Garth Brooks. Recorded 22 Academy of Country Music Awards. Mm-hmm. He has a record of 22 Academy of Country Music Awards. 47 overall nominations. 13 Grammy Awards. 2 Grammy wins. Or he has 13 Grammy Award nominations. 2 Grammy wins.
Yep.
He's got Billboard Music Awards, Country Music Association Awards, Primetime Emmy Awards, Golden Globes Awards. He's in the Country Music Hall of Fame, the Cheyenne Frontier Days Hall of Fame, the Songwriters Hall of Fame, Musicians Hall of Fame and Museum. He's awarded the Library of Congress Gershwin Prize for Popular Song.
He's everything.
Billboard Icon Award, recipient of the 43rd Annual Kennedy Center's, it goes on. And then it talks about how he is the best-selling solo artist of the 20th century. Mm-hmm. It keeps going between him and Elvis and the Beatles. In September 2016, Brooks became the first and only artist in music history to achieve 7 career Diamond Award albums. Anyway, trivia. In 1999, Brooks took on the persona of what fictitious rock and roll musician and character for an upcoming film titled The Lamb? You said this in
another episode. All right, Chris Gaines.
Yeah.
Excellent!
Yeah. Garth Brooks, in The Life of Chris Gaines, also dubbed Gaines' Greatest Hits, was released to much public criticism. Brooks also appeared on Gaines, as Gaines, I didn't know this, he appeared as Gaines in a television mockumentary for VH1 series Behind the Music, and as the musical guest on an episode of Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah.
Which he hosted.
Mm-hmm.
Sales of the album were unspectacular. Despite the less than spectacular response to the Gaines project, Brooks gained the first and only Billboard Top 40 pop single in Lost in You. The album was later certified double platinum.
Nice.
So even though it was a stinker, it still went double platinum and got a top 40 single.
You picked the wrong artist. You gave all the info on Alan Jackson. You really had it for Garth Brooks.
And Chris Gaines.
No, my goodness. on that Saturday Night Live he hosts, there's a really funny sketch where he's trying to write a song and Will Ferrell shows up dressed like the devil and he goes, I'm going to give you this hot number one single, but then he can't find anything and he goes, this guitar's out of tune. Anyway, it's really funny. I say YouTube, Garth Brooks, Will Ferrell, you would laugh a lot. So no, it's a great song. Well, my number 3 takes us back into the cab of a pickup truck, Rob.
What?
Yeah. And it is That Ain't My Truck by Rhett Atkins.
Oh. That's a good one.
I love this song. Pretty country version of a story here. He realizes his woman's left him because some other dude's truck's parked at her house. And I love the That Ain't My Shadow on the Wall. So I get the sense here that he's staring through the window, either watching them engage together, or it sounds like he's standing or sitting in his truck just watching through a window. So that has a little creep factor to it, but I got it. He's emotional. He lost his lady. Yeah. This is what happened. So this song isn't as mainstream as some of the others I chose, but one of my favorites, second song about a truck, but hey, it's country music. There's only so many topics. You can sing about trucks being at the top of the pops. Released in 1995, hit number 3 on the U.S. country charts, number 7 in Canada. I don't even really like it. I don't even really know why I like this song. It just sounds good. I like singing along with it. I don't have a truck problem. I didn't lose a girl to a truck or another truck. None of those things happened. So, but, you know, good to sing along to. Tells a story by seeing another dude's truck in the driveway. I love that. You drive by and you're like, wait a minute. Who's this?
Who's this?
Is that John's truck? Maybe he's helping her move a bookshelf or something, right? So upon rethink, I'm going to have to say, sorry, Joe Diffie, rest in peace, but this is my favorite truck song.
Wow.
Pickup Man's great, but That Ain't My Truck is the better truck song.
Look at you.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Blasphemous.
No.
Wow.
I mean, you can't go wrong with any truck song, but right. I'm going to have this one number 1. I just imagine him, And he's pulled over on the side of the road. Yeah. But I can't believe his truck is in my spot.
Good storytelling. It's good storytelling.
I guess. It's probably a little cheesy, but I like it.
No, it's good. I love it. My number two.
Number two.
It's our crossover. It's our one.
You said there'd be one.
Yeah.
I already know what it's going to be then.
What is it?
Play it. See what happens. Oh, wow. I thought it'd be the Martini McBride because of the way you think.
No.
Wow, pickup man.
Yeah, I sing it every time it comes to the ring.
I wouldn't have thought you would have this one.
Yeah, love it.
All right, so we had one.
Love it.
About a pickup man. I mean, everybody loves it.
Oh, no, it's such a good song. Clever song, clever. I have nothing really else to add.
Impossible.
I will add that. Well, I do. I lie.
There you go.
I say that every time. I say, I have nothing to add.
And then you read four more paragraphs.
4 minutes. That's right. Between 1990 and 2004, Joe Diffie was one of the most commercially successful artists in country music. 35 singles on the Billboard Hot 100 chart, 5 of which peaked at number 1. 12 others reached number the top 10. 10 more would reach the top 40. We talk about the pickup man. We talk about the video, the dead man from the Prop Me Up Beside the Jukebox music video made a cameo, so it's a crossover.
Nice.
It's been used in commercials. I want to read you a little bit about his life.
Here we go.
So he's born in Tulsa, Oklahoma, 1958. His family moved to San Antonio, then Washington State. He lived in Washington State for a little bit.
That's great.
Wisconsin, back to Oklahoma. In his senior year, he's recognized as best all-around male athlete. So we get this picture of this country kid, stud athlete. He goes to Cameron University, marries for the first time in 77, drops out, works in the oil fields, drives a truck to pump concrete, worked in a foundry. The foundry closes. He declares bankruptcy, builds a studio, has to sell the studio, divorces his wife, who left with their two kids, spent several months in state of depression, moves to Nashville, met Debbie, his second wife.
Good.
He was married 4 times, by the
Perfect.
Way. Then he signs with Epic in early 1990, and the rest is history. So he's the country music lifestyle.
Is him.
Married 4 times. Wife ran away with your kids. The job at the foundry closed. Anyway, trivia. 1992, Diffie was nominated by the Academy of Country Music for the top male, new male vocalist, along with Billy Dean.
Mm.
And what other prominent male country artist known for his cover of Aerosmith's I Don't Want to Miss a Thing?
No.
This is featured in a previous episode.
No, you told me.
And let's see if you were paying attention.
Mark Chestnut.
Excellent.
Nice job. Chestnut and Diffie would lose to Billy Dean.
Of course they would.
By early 1999.
No one's heard of Billy Dean.
Chestnut's version of I Don't Want to Miss a Thing had reached the top of the Hot Country Singles and Tracks chart. It was also his first entry into the Billboard Hot 100, where it ascended to number 17.
Nice.
Anyway.
All right. Pick up man. Good one.
There you go.
Good number two.
Good number two. Great number two.
It was my number 7, but good number 2.
Okay.
All right. Mm. So my number 2, we're going to go back to Garth Brooks.
Oh.
Not the rodeo.
Okay.
This one's about line dancing, roosters crowing, ain't going down till the sun comes up.
This is a rocking one.
I love it. Again, this pickup truck.
Video.
Oh, yeah.
This is a concert video.
I love this.
And they're busting guitars. This is... And he's running.
Harmonica?
Oh, you like the solos.
Wow. Solo here? Whoa. That's really good, right?
I guess. I mean, it doesn't seem that hard.
I spent a lot of time trying to learn all the lyrics to that song. It kind of goes fast. So, all respect to Blues Traveler, as I just mentioned, fantastic harmonica in this song, true. Rob. Almost impossible to pick a Garth Brooks song, but I remember liking this a lot when I first heard it. So here it is. Came out in July 1993 off the Pieces album. Went number 1 in the U.S. and Canada. Tells a song about a girl going out with her boyfriend and she breaks her curfew. Can't have a 90s country countdown with no Garth. As I said earlier, I could probably do all 10 songs from Garth. In fact, I could easily do all 10 songs, but he has to be here. I went with this one. You could argue Friends in Low Places.
Yeah.
I thought about Thunder Rolls. The dance is really good. You mentioned Rodeo. And there's a bunch of others. Mama Loves Papa. I picked Ain't Going Down because I love singing along with it, but it could easily be interchangeable with several other Garth Brooks songs.
That's good.
So if the fans come at us, yes, if you don't think this is the best Garth Brooks song, I just like it because it rocks.
Oh, yeah. No.
And it's fun to listen to.
That goes back to your statement at the beginning about this is volume one.
Volume one.
I mean, we only have 10 slots, and so we got to pick our favorite 10.
Got to do it. Well, Rob, we've gone all the way to number two, so let's head over yonder to
the cut line.
I like that word, yonder. As we put our list together, you said we could only have 10. That is true. Mm-hmm. But outside of our top seven, we had two extras that we've chosen so we can rock a little more country. And then we have an honorable mention that you get to decide why it's your honorable mention. I've had instructions. I've said we appreciated it. We didn't appreciate it. We found it later. But you know what? At this point, it's just a third song you get to pick. It's your honorable mention. And then you can tell us why you picked it. That's so, right. All right, Rob, hit the dance floor, start two-stepping, and give us that first kit.
I think you can two-step to this, right?
No, you can two-step to anything. Ah, David Lee Murphy?
No, this is Diamond Rio. Rio.
Yeah, that's right.
My
David Lee Murphy is Dust on the Bottle.
Yeah, my daughter, 13-year-old daughter.
Yes.
In class, she's in middle school right now, and they, on some kind of a survey in class, the teacher says, "What's your favorite song?" And she says, "Meet in the Middle, Diamond Rio."
Oh, I'm surprised it wasn't the Grundy County Auction. She's always listening to that one.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is in honor of my daughter. She likes this one.
Perfect.
So, Diamond Rio, this is February of 91. This band was originally known as the Grizzly River Boys. That's such a great name for a band.
I would have stayed with that.
Yeah. Wonderful. Then the Tennessee River Boys.
Yeah.
The band charted 32 more singles between then and 2006, including four more that reached number one. Three of the band's albums have been certified platinum. This song reached number one on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100, and it's the first country music band in history to have its debut single reach number one. That's kind of cool.
Diamond Rio.
It describes two people who learn how to meet in the middle. In the first verse, they are friends who live far apart and agree to meet a tree between their houses. By the second verse, they are married, the ceremony taking place under that tree. And upon looking at the tree, now in their backyard, they're reminded to put their differences aside when they disagree. It's a very good, storytelling.
Storytelling. Right?
So some stats about Diamond Rio, though. Four Group of the Year awards, two Top Vocal Group awards, one Grammy award. It's the Academy of Country Music Awards, Top Vocal Group in 91, 92, 93, 94, 97. Country Music Association's Award for Vocal Group of the Year, 15 total nominations for CMA Vocal Group of the Year, 13 Grammy nominations, 3 nominations for the GMA Dove Awards, a Dove Award for Country Album of the Year, and Grammy Award for Best Southern Country or Bluegrass Gospel Album.
Mm.
So, no slouch.
You love your stats.
I do. Ty Herndon alternated as one of the lead vocalists prior to leaving the band in 1983 to compete on what popular television talent show hosted by Ed McMahon?
Star Search.
Excellent!
Ty Herndon would eventually become a solo artist for Epic Records between 1995 and the early 2000s. Star Search would go on to feature acts like Sawyer Brown, Shanice, Leanne Rimes, Aaliyah, Adam Sandler, Alanis Morissette, Backstreet Boys, Billy Dean, Bill Engvall, Little Texas, and Phil Vassar.
Justin Timberlake,
Britney
Spears.
Yeah. And those are just the name.
Beyonce.
Beyonce.
She was on there with a group. They were like 15, but they were on there.
Yeah, is that early Destiny's Child?
They have a different name.
Different name.
Oh, yes. So, all right, good. That's a good cut.
Yeah, love that one.
I don't love Diamond Rio, but that song's good.
That's the only song I know.
Solid, good song.
I'm sure the country fans are like, oh my gosh.
But there you go. Well, my next cut is from Mrs. Garth Brooks.
I know what it is.
She's in Love with the Boy by Trisha Yearwood.
You got the shot, the short end of the stick.
A little glitch there. I think I hit the pause real quick.
That's all right.
Ooh. You know this one?
I do.
Everybody knows this one.
Yeah. Do you think this is a conversation your father-in-law had with... Do you think our father-in-law said that? They sat there and went...
Probably not.
That kid ain't worth a lick. What an idiot.
I don't think so. I was in college.
What are you doing with that kid? Thought,
so. Right. Well, speaking of father-in-law, my wife is going to hate this choice for sure. She really does not like any country songs by female artists, and I don't think she likes Trisha Yearwood at all. Yeah,
that was an interesting conversation. She's just not a big fan of
Not a fan of female country artists. Wow. She can deal with a little Reba and stuff, but not a Trisha Yearwood fan. But despite that, as I said, Mrs. Garth Brooks put together a great country teenage love song, came out in 91, went to number one on the U.S. and Canadian country charts. Classic story, Rob. I know you love storytelling, so here it is.
Yeah.
Classic story here. Dad hates boyfriend. Daughter loves boyfriend. Mom has to convince dad boyfriend's not trash because apparently he forgot when he was young he was trash.
That's right.
But he turned out really good. So obviously Tommy will turn out really good. Cheesy, yes. Great song. Also, yes.
Great story.
But the video is not great. Yearwood sitting in a chair backwards, like in a driveway on a farm. It's kind of hazy. I don't know if it's supposed to be like a flashback video or what's going on there, but didn't have high production value and just didn't look good. And her hair's everywhere. It's just... Even for 90s country hair, pretty big and pretty all over the place.
90s country hair was big.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. So, but yeah.
That's a good one. Classic. That's that is a classic, right? When you think of that one.
Classic country. 90s country.
Yeah.
She's in love with the boy.
All right.
Simple premise, right?
But impactful.
Impactful.
So that's the thing about country.
Yeah.
It's simple lyrics.
Because in the lyric, the dad says he's got to talk to the boy, and the mom has to rush in and be like, hey, remember.
Your dad.
She says.
My daddy.
You were once a hayseed plowboy with no room to hope or something
Such a great story. I love it.
Yeah, it's something.
I think that's my favorite pick on here. For your
yeah, you're crazy. That's not the best one. That's why it's on the
It's the best story. I love it.
Oh, whatever.
All right, here we go. This is my cut number two.
It's cut number
two. My cut number two.
Oh, nice. Dwight.
Little Dwight Yoakam.
Yoakam. Very twangy.
Oh.
He's the king of the twang.
Almost too twangy. Little honky tonk.
He's very honky tonk.
As fast as you.
I will be honest though, in movies, no one plays a bigger pile of garbage than Dwight Yoakam. Like, he plays white trash like nobody's business.
Oh, yeah.
In Sling Blade, he is awful.
Damn you. In one of my wife and I's favorite movies, Four Christmases. Oh, it's just a stupid movie.
I love
movie.
Four Christmas.
But yeah, he plays the pastor in that. Yeah. He plays a like.
That's the best scene in that whole
cheap
movie.
Cheap suit wearing. Like,
woman, swaddle this child.
Swaddle that baby. Yeah. This child is a blessing to the both of us. Anyway, so this is written and recorded by American country music artist Dwight Yoakam. I will admit, my sister and I growing up, we would call him Dwight Scrotum. I'm sorry.
Very clever.
I know. I'm sorry.
Toilet humor.
Yeah. Hopefully that got a immature giggle from the folks
somewhere.
There yeah. in traffic.
Someone else called them Dwight Scrotum. You're not the only one. All right.
Well, now they will, though.
They won't be.
The song topped out at number two. This is his last American top 10 hit to date. This is also his second single to enter the Billboard Hot 100, peaking at number 70. He's a man of many talents. He's a singer, a songwriter, an actor, a film director. Mm-hmm. His first three albums reached number one. Two number one singles on the Hot Country Songs chart, 12 additional top 10 hits, 2 Grammy Awards, 1 the ACM Award. The album this song is on is his most commercially successful album, having been certified triple platinum. He's been called neo-traditional country.
Okay.
I don't know. He's got a unique voice and image, the tight pants.
He wore super tight jeans.
And they're really like pointy boots. Yes.
And he wears cowboy hat really low.
Yeah, really low. And yes. Again, his life.
I think he's a collar up guy too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Coat. He's got the coat going on, the jean coat. The short. It's weird. Anyway. Yeah,
it's good.
He's kind of another guy that traveled around. Interesting though, he moved to Nashville. It wasn't working out there because his style didn't really fit the Nashville scene.
Okay.
So he went out to Los Angeles where he joined kind of the rockabilly scene. And that's what kind of got him going. I thought that was kind of cool.
Nice.
In addition to appearing in movies like Red Rock West, Panic Room, The Minus Man, Wedding Crashers, and South of Heaven, West of Hell, and TV shows like P.S. I Love You, Under the Dome, and Goliath, Yoakam starred in 1996 American drama directed by Billy Bob Thornton.
Just hit the button.
Excellent!
Sling Blade.
Yeah.
In addition to directing, Thornton starred in the lead role. It won the Academy Award for Best Writing, Adapted Screenplay, and Thornton was nominated for Best Actor in a Leading Role.
I wonder if Vince Vaughn and Dwight Yoakam are friends, because he was in Wedding Crashers with Vince Vaughn. He was where they were mediating the wedding or the divorce, and then he was in Four Christmases.
That's right.
I wonder if they're friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Well, my second cut, that's a good cut. I like his twang. I can do good with that. Well, my second cut, I'm just going to play it for you because this is a country countdown, and this song says it all. I keep that way.
Everybody knows everybody. Love it.
Everybody calls you friend. You don't need an invitation.
this Tracy Byrd?
It is. Here we go. This is my favorite part. Says it all right here.
And we like it that way.
There you go, Tracy Byrd. That's right. That's from I'm from the country. We're from is part of the lyrics, but I'm from the country. Everyone knows Tracy because he likes to crawl with a certain kind of fruit, but this song says it all, Rob. I think you know what this song will be even before you hear it. Released in 1998, so later 90s. Actually, my favorite, Over Watermelon Crawl. I like it better.
Okay.
Which was on our Drinking Songs Countdown, episode number 12. Recommend checking that out if you've missed it. Number 58 on the U.S. Hot 100 charts, number 9 in the Canadian country charts. How about this lyric, Rob? We love our lyrics. We love you like Sunday, treat you like Saturday night. Now, I'm not from the country. I'm not from the South, so I'm not even sure what the hell that means, but I'm just going to assume it's cool. I don't know.
What is that? We
love you like Sunday, treat you like Saturday night. So I'm guessing Sunday, we'll just go down a rabbit hole real quick.
I'm going to say
Sunday seems like a day to go to church, family dinner type stuff.
Uh-huh.
Saturday night seems like you'd hang out with the ladies.
Yeah.
So I'll love you like I would on Sunday, but in other times I'll treat you like it's Saturday night.
Oh.
Maybe.
Clever songwriting. See, clever. I'm telling you, that is good songwriting right there. And you put that to music.
I bet people from the country immediately were like, hey, yeah, I know what that means.
Right.
And I'm like, what is he talking about? No, but maybe I deciphered it.
You two city
for
kids.
My country fans out there, let me know.
Yeah.
Am I on the right track?
I think that.
Or is it just a phrase that means nothing?
I think you nailed it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guess what? Honorable mention time.
Honorable mention. All right. My honorable mention is a man.
Let's preface real quick. Oh. Do you have 7 pages of notes on this person?
I do. I do.
Your honorable mentions tend to get a little extra research than almost every other song.
I'm sorry. I'll try to skip every other bullet.
Oh, it's fine.
No, this is a man that should probably be on the list if he's not, if you aren't going to get him. But this is, here we go.
Read what she wrote. Do you love great. Me? Do you want the king.
Right?
Of course.
He has the king. I put him as an honorable mention because I don't feel, just like I don't feel I'm qualified to wear a cowboy hat.
Yes.
I don't feel like I've earned it. I don't feel that I can really speak to Gentleman George.
So good.
So. I don't feel
arguably like, the best country artist.
Well, I don't know that that's even an argument, but
okay.
George Strait released 95 it was the lead single out of a box set called Straight Out of the Box. My
name
wife
of
actually,
song, by the way.
What?
You said George Strait, but name of song.
Oh, it's called Check Yes or
Check
No.
Yes or
Sorry.
No.
Thank you.
I mean,
my wife has the box set Straight Out of the Box. It peaked at number 1. Tells the story of 2 school children who develop a crush on one another. They're passing love notes. They're flirting on the playground. And then the second verse, the song shifts to the present. They're now married.
Yep.
They still love each other. Billboard magazine said it's another winner from country's music, most consistent hit maker, tailor made for country radio and a good natured radio perennial. CMA and ACM single of the year. Check Yes or No remains one of Strait's biggest singles in the streaming age. The song has been covered by Kane Brown, Scotty McCreery, Florida Georgia Line. And then Florida Georgia Line references Check Yes or No. Some stats, too many. Most number one albums, most number one singles. And this isn't just in country.
You can just say greatest country artist.
Yeah, this is across all genres. Most number ones, most number one singles, most gold album, most platinum. As of 2009, he holds the record for the most CMA awards, most ACMA awards. I mean, it's the guy's crazy. The most number one hit singles across all charts and genres.
All charts.
The only artist in history of music of any kind to have a top 10 hit every year for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Entertainer of the year, 89, 90, and 2013. Anyway.
So, my wife will tell you she won't listen to any other country. She'll just listen to George Strait.
Yeah.
That's all she has to do.
And again, his songs, the thing I'm drawn to about his songs is a lot of times he's telling a story. He's talking about life and things that you can relate to. So,
Well, we're on the same track.
Oh,
my honorable mention also from George Strait, not Check Yes or No. This is a song my wife always reminds me was one of her prom songs. So Rob, guess what? Probably one of your wife's prom songs too. And I'm just going to play it because you'll know it somewhat instantly. I cross my
heart. That's good.
Oh yeah. So good. Give all I've got to give to He's such a good singer.
Yeah.
Country or not. I love this song.
And yeah, and the thing about George Strait that I've always appreciated is that guy, he is a cowboy.
Oh yeah.
Like he's roping and I mean, he could go right from the stage to roping. Like that's not a fake thing. He does it. And so I think he lives the life of a cowboy. Does. And so
this is I Cross My Heart by the one and only George Strait. As you just referenced George in this song, this is what I wrote, maybe the best thing on this list. So why isn't it an honorable mention, Rob? Here's why. Well, this was released in 1992 on the Pure Country soundtrack. Fantastic movie. Yeah. If you haven't seen Pure Country, go watch Pure Country. Stars George Strait. Highly recommended viewing. But I did not see the movie or hear the song until 1995. My roommate in tech school, country guy, said, we have to watch this movie. We rented it. I watched it. I liked it. Yeah. I liked the song. Number one on the U.S. Canadian country charts. Not a shock, probably. Great love song ballad. George is awesome, of course. And I imagine this song still makes it into a lot of proms and weddings, I probably would think. Shout out, as we're talking about Pure Country, shout out to Dusty and Harley and Boo on Buddy Jacks.
Yeah, that means nothing to me. I'm sure that my wife's going.
Seen Pure Country?
No. So
the character he plays is Dusty.
Okay, remember that.
The girl he finds on the ranch is Harley.
Yeah.
And the coach from Friday Night Lights is Buddy Jackson, the one trying to take his spot. Well, he pretends to be Dusty while Dusty goes on a walk.
That's right.
Because he goes on a walk.
That's right.
Because his drummer said he was tired of being the chicken on the stage with the flames underneath or whatever. Yeah.
So my
Pure Country folks know exactly where I'm going.
I know. My wife, I heard her, we're getting my list together and I'm giving them, she's giving me ideas.
She loves to give you ideas.
Yeah. And I don't think she liked any of my choices. So then, she just kept saying, what about? I said, I got 10 slots. That's all I got. But then I heard her tell my daughter, we're watching Pure Country. And my daughter says, what's that? She goes, you don't know what it, I mean, she was offended.
Of course she was.
I think we felt attacked. Like, I think we're like bad parents, right?
A little bit.
We didn't introduce our kids to, anyway. All right. Pure trivia for Strait. Strait eloped with his high school sweetheart and married in Mexico in 1971. The same year, he listed in what branch of the armed services?
The Air Force.
Ooh. United States Army. He enlisted in the United States Army as an infantryman while stationed at Schofield Barracks in Hawaii as part of the 25th Infantry Division. Strait began performing with an Army-sponsored band called Rambling Country, which also played off base under the name Santee. Strait served in the United States Army from 71 to 75 and ultimately attained the rank of corporal.
Nice.
And he was honorably discharged from the Army in 1975. Well, thank you for your service. Good job,
Garth.
Mr.
Not Garth. George.
George.
Good job, George. Right. I was looking at Garth on my laptop.
That's okay. So,
George.
Yeah, that's right.
That doesn't preview that Garth is my number one song, but.
That's okay. That's all right.
Well, that takes you to your number one song. We both had George add an honorable mention, just different songs.
All right. My number one.
Your number one.
You really? Disagree with it. I have a reason why. Let me tell you why. Give me a minute.
I hope it's good.
Give me a minute.
I just can't see this number one. I can see it on your countdown.
Well, I have a little message. So
I don't like this song.
It's
a little too slow and a little too twangy.
I'm just not. I think she's
not really into it. And I don't really. I don't love this version that much.
Yeah. No.
But. I'm sure it has some great feelings for you, and it means something. Will let you bask in the glory. Is that Alison Krauss, by the way?
Alison Krauss and Union Station.
There you go.
And I like Alison Krauss and Union Station. The bluegrass stuff.
Bluegrass.
They do. I like that. So this was released in '94. They covered the song. Union Station and her covered the song for a tribute album to Keith Whitley. Whitley was an American country music singer and songwriter. Mm-hmm. During his career, Whitley released two albums but charted 12 singles on the Billboard country charts and seven more after his death. This version peaked at number three. Its success as well as that of the album caught so that like they're like, whoa, it came out of nowhere. And so they described it as a freak thing. And she told the Los Angeles Times, it's kind of tickling us. We haven't had anything really chart before at all. Isn't it funny though? We don't know what's going on. The office said, hey, it's charting. And we're like, Okay. Yeah. And so it goes on. There's a duet floating around where they did Keith Whitley and Alison Krauss, where they kind of digitally matched their voice, but it was never available commercially.
Commercially.
It went on to win the CMA Award for Single of the Year. And it's been featured on things like The Young and the Restless, The Other Sister. A version was also included in the rom-com Notting Hill, which we've referenced before.
Yeah.
Most importantly, though, I picked it because this was my wife and I's wedding song.
Oh, okay.
And so it holds a place. It holds a place.
Apologize for my lemon piece when I heard it. People don't know this and might be shocked by it, but I actually was not in or at your wedding.
Just didn't work out.
Supposed to be, but the Air Force had other plans, and I literally could not get back to Washington State for the wedding. I think I was going to be in the wedding.
Oh, absolutely.
But
August
17th. So I wasn't there for a first dance, so I didn't know this. And you being the knucklehead that you are, I've never shared that with me,
so
that I don't have that information. I don't like the song, but I understand, and I'll give it a little esteem because of what it means to you.
Yeah. So we got married August 17th, 2002.
Yep.
At a church, but then the reception was at the American Legion Hall in Ellensburg, Washington, overlooking the rodeo grounds. There you go. So
you were born for this list.
That's right.
Yeah.
So my wife usually listens to this as she's getting her makeup. She's doing her makeup in the morning.
It's great.
So just. Tell her I love her.
That's why. Did she like this one then?
Yeah, she likes it. Again, I don't know that it's like a classic 90s to her, but I think hopefully it'll mean something to her as well.
We hope so. Well, you said she didn't sign off on all the rest of your list.
No, absolutely not. So trivia for you: from 86 until Whitley's death from alcohol poisoning in 89, he was married to what American country music singer and actress whose 1992 song Something in Red was nominated for Song of the Year by the ACM?
Oh. No, I don't have anything for you.
That's Lori Morgan.
I know the name. Lori Morgan.
So you talk about country music lifestyle.
Uh-oh.
Her first husband was a musician for George Jones. Married.
Yeah.
2 years.
Nice.
Her second marriage was to Keith Whitley.
Yeah.
3 years, but he died. So asterisk there. Then she was married to Brad Thompson, a former a driver for Clint Black.
Good.
2 years. Then she dated Troy Aikman for a year-ish.
Gotcha.
Then from 94 to 96, she was in a relationship with politician and actor Fred Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
Then she married country music singer Joe Randall, 3 years. Then she was allegedly spotted in the backseat of a limousine with Bill Clinton.
Okay.
She claims that was fabrication, but I think now that we know what we know. Her fifth husband was Sammy Kershaw.
Oh, great.
6 years until they divorced. Then in 2008, she filed for bankruptcy.
How'd we get to Lori Morgan so much?
And then...
You didn't even play a song from her.
No. And then her sixth marriage, 2010, to Tennessee businessman. So 6 times she's been married.
Look, I don't know anything about those relationships, but there's only one consistent factor in all of them. Lori Morgan. So I don't know exactly what's going on here. but maybe she shouldn't get married anymore. I don't know.
So, there you go.
All right. Well, my number one song is not a wedding song.
Mm-hmm.
It's way different than the song that you chose. It's, again, a party type song.
Okay.
And, here we go.
My daughter will appreciate it. She loves this one.
Yeah. Yep, it's the one. I knew this before I made the list.
Yeah.
This was number, I picked.
This was your number one.
This was number one, and then I figured out the rest of the list.
That's how kind of my number one was. I knew that had to be, and then I built around it. Good one.
Ain't no closing time, ain't no cover charge.
I remember when you used to have your CD book.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember this being one of your CDs in there.
It was there.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
This is one of your country singers.
Well, we discussed it a few minutes ago. George Strait's my favorite country singer. Garth, close second, but early 90s Tim is right there, like 2A for me. And this is my favorite 90s country song, without a doubt. Released in 1994, hit number 2 in the U.S., number 3 in Canada. The song is fun, feels like something you'd play to blow the top off of the party or the barn, since we're talking about a barn. It's a little rocking along with being country, which I like. I just never get tired of hearing it. Reminds me of the 90s, Japan, everything about that time. How about this lyric, Rob? I know you love the lyrics. Farmer Johnson's daughters just pulled up in a Jeep, and he knows how to grow them, if you know what I mean. Yes, Tim, I know exactly what you mean. And I'm here for it. And in fact, I'm still looking for Farmer Johnson's daughters. but I can't find the Jeep. No place.
That's funny.
Farmer Johnson, he knows how to grow them,
yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Yep. No, that's a good one.
Good on Farmer Johnson. So, yeah. I will say, we're not going to do a ton of ones we didn't
because
there's
going to
be a volume two, right? Yeah. So we won't go over a bunch of other songs. But I am somewhat shocked. No Brooks and Dunn between either of us. Really surprised by that. I looked at it several times. I love Brooks and Dunn. I just didn't see him in the 10 I have right here. Yeah. My wife, she's going to scold me.
For not
how
having,
could you put that instead of Trisha Yearwood or Martina McBride?
Well, I will tell you, I kind of have my.
She doesn't like that That Ain't My Truck Red Atkins song either, so I'm going to hear it for that one too. So
no, on my cutting room, my first cutting room is Friends in Low Places. Okay. And I didn't put it on because we've mentioned it in a previous.
That's fine.
Then I had When You Say Nothing at All, which is already on my list.
Correct.
Next one, Brooks and Dunn song.
Brooks and Dunn.
So it was.
I had several I could go over. I love Clint Black. I didn't get him in on this one.
Yeah, no Clint Black. You got a Travis Tritt, which that was really good.
Yeah, I like that one.
I tried to get some Brad Paisley. My wife's a huge Brad Paisley fan, but he was more of a late.
I am very appreciative that you omitted the Brad Paisley. I'm okay without that.
He had one that was like late 90s, but most of his stuff was, you know.
No Trace Atkins. I would say no Toby Keith.
My wife was pretty adamant that we should have had some Shania Twain.
I am not a Shania Twain fan. So we could do a volume 10, and I probably won't have any Shania Twain pot up. So all apologies to your wife. If she wants to come on and introduce Shania to the masses, cool on that. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to introduce Shania. I'm good without that.
Yeah.
Look, I liked her when she came out. I liked her. Let's be honest. Yeah,
good to look at.
Yeah, she's good to look at. But
whose bed have your boots been under? That video is
songs a little cheesy. Yeah. I just never got too far into them. So is what it is.
Yeah.
Well, if you enjoy this podcast, please take a second, give it 5 stars, drop us a review. Also, check out our website, totally80s90s recall.podbean.com, where you can find links to all our social media sites. Join our Facebook group for weekly updates. You can email us at 80s90s recall@gmail.com. You can tell us future show ideas, comment on shows you've already listened to, and just leave us questions or whatever. And hopefully in the future, we'll have a mailbag episode. We'll be able to talk about those. And finally, subscribe to our YouTube channel. You'll get to see us live. It's like you're in the studio. It's fantastic. We love it. Links to all of our social media are in the show notes. So go hit those. You can find everything that you want to find about us, me and Rob, the Dave and Rob experience.
Dave and Rob experience.
Yeah. So you got anything else about 90s country volume 1 before we close this thing out?
No, I think your statement at the beginning about this, probably we're going to miss some. I think that came through. And
with now you've already mentioned your wife saw your list, so she's already had some reservations.
Mm-hmm.
I think from my wife and some others that we know, there's definitely probably going to be some contemptuous, some questions, like how are these all your choices?
Well, right? I will tell you, there's a famous quote. Uh-huh. It's a World War II quote. Bombers in the World War II, pilots would say, if we're taking flak, we know we're over the target.
There you go. Perfect.
So if we're taking flak, we know we've hit a nerve.
We're in the air.
And we're getting a conversation started. And then I would say, job well done.
Job well done.
We did what we came to do.
All right. Well.
And discuss.
Well, sadly, cowpokes, that brings us to the end of this episode. We hope y'all enjoyed our choices for our favorite country songs of the 1990s, Volume 1. If you like today's musical choices, we provided links to Spotify, Apple, Amazon playlist in the show notes so you can really experience all these great songs. Just a short note, though, for all our country fans out there, our Apple and Spotify playlist will not have any of our Garth Brooks selections on it, as he has an exclusive rights deal with Amazon only. So if you want to listen to the entire catalog we introduced today, you'll have to listen to the Amazon playlist.
Okay.
If you're not worried about hearing the 2 Garth Brooks songs that you and Rob and I played, just listen to Apple and Spotify. It'll have everything else. But he is only on Amazon at this time. Oh. So finally, we'd like to thank all our listeners, whether first-timers, subscribers, for hanging out with Rob and I. Hopefully we gave y'all an hour or so, some laughs. And don't forget to tune in for all new episodes of Totally 80s and 90s Recall every Tuesday. Is that right?
Stupid accent.
Is that the way you say Tuesday? Is that the way you say it in the South?
No.
Every Tuesday. Oh, yeah.
My wife's family Idaho says Pertnear.
I lived in Fort Walton Beach, which is in Florida technically, but anyone who lives there will tell you they call it Lower Alabama because it's on the panhandle.
I don't know.
And trust me, I've heard all the dialect down there. So I think Tuesday's a thing.
All right. Pertnear.
We have some friends of the show from the South, Oklahoma, Georgia, place. So I'm sure we'll hear plenty about.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what you're trying to do there, but
stop.
Well,
what are we doing next time?
Next time.
I need to know what my homework is.
Ooh, it's a little spooky, Rob. Ooh. This is our first ever Halloween episode. Mm. So we're going to be taking a look at scary movies of the 80s and 90s. Usually we pin down a movie.
Yeah.
But the genre in the 80s and 90s of like scary horror movies was pretty broad. Lots of things going on. So we're just going to kind of have an overall discussion and we'll get the movie hound in here. He'll turn into a werewolf.
Ooh.
He'll join us for the show.
Okay.
And we'll see what he howls up for us.
And so this will be, are we doing a top 10 style?
No, we're still doing our categories. Categories. Like we will do the show.
Got it.
Yep. It's just you kind of have to have, a general idea of all kinds of movies. So we're talking Freddy, we're talking Jason, we're talking all those types of things.
Okay.
So any of those kinds of things can come up.
All right, perfect.
So it'll be fun.
That should be fun. Yeah. I always like it when the hound's in the house.
The hound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
He gets us going.
Yeah.
Well, you got anything else?
I got nothing else.
Fancy goodbye?
No fancy goodbyes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Peace out.
Peace. I didn't know it was your wedding song.
Well, and you're going to offend people with your accent.
No, I think it was pretty good.
Cowpoke?
Cowpoke? People say cowpoke.
No, people don't say cowpoke.
Someone says cowpoke. I've heard it. Someone says it.